Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's put that on display today, you hear me? Let's put that on display today. Who we are, how we like to play, and the mission we on, all right? Let's play together and be the team. Gang on three, one, two, three.
This is the Christian Arcan Show on WEEI.
Hour number two here, Christian Arcan Show, WEEI, live in our Brighton studios, powered by Verizon. It's nice to have you with us here tonight. We are Boston Sports Original, and along with Boston, we're coming to you live up in Portland and Saco, Upper Valley, Keene, Brattleboro, Springfield, Worcester, Providence, Cape Cod, and the Islands. And if you're not in any of those places, don't forget you can always stream WEEI and the Christian Arcan Show anytime you want on the Odyssey app, as well as the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps. Mego's going to be joining me here in about a half hour. Looking forward to getting her take on the Patriots' second win in less than a week, as they come away with a 9-2 record, 4-2 at home, the best record in football, the most wins in football. And that may only last till Sunday. I guess we'll see. But right now, the Patriots riding high and bringing back a lot of great memories. What you just heard there was Steph Diggs' pregame speech. And then Steph Diggs, in the first series of the game for the Patriots, got body slammed by Jarvis Brownlee Jr., who had a couple of pretty dumb plays in that game. That one, first of all, was okay, buddy, like, relax. He lifted him off the ground like he was Randy Orton over there and slams him on the turf, gets an easy flag there. And I think it was also Jarvis Brownlee that didn't touch Pop Douglas. When he made that catch, I think it was in the third quarter, and then he got up and kept going. Brownlee was right over there, and he was just like, ah, to hell with it. I don't need to touch. No, you do. You could hit him, right? But at least you got to make some sort of contact with the player, which he didn't. And Douglas popped up and got about, I don't know, 6-7 more yards. But what can you say? What can you say about Steph Diggs? 105 yards, 9 catches on 11 targets. Mac Hollins, another big game, 4 catches, 64 yards on 5 targets. Hunter Henry, 4 catches on 6 targets. Pop Douglas, 3 for 3. Travion Henderson, 5 for 5. Kyle Williams, 0 for 3. It's unbelievable. It really is. No one else on the team had more than 2 non-receptions when they were targeted. Diggs, 9 for 11. Henry, 4 for 6. That was as bad as it got until Kyle Williams was 0 for 3. Everybody else caught everything, basically. Mac Hollins had that one, which I hate to even say this, but he did have to slow down a little bit. Hollins did have to slow down. It was a good throw, and he put it right in the basket, but Hollins did have to slow down just a little bit. Just a little bit for that guy in the Jets to come over and make the play. Which I don't even remember who it was, but it doesn't matter anyway. That would have been Drake May's first 300-yard game, if he had completed that pass. He still doesn't have one. So when I talk about how this team still has other heights to hit, they do. Drake May, as great as he is, hasn't gone on a stretch where he's throwing for 400 yards and 4 touchdowns. Like, you know what I mean? You're not seeing much of that this year, really anywhere. You're not seeing a lot of guys do that this year. It's just the offenses are more streamlined, I guess. I don't know. But whatever it is, May still has that level to get to, which I think is certainly in the cards. the offensive line to get better, and the wide receiver room, which, you know, right now is playing, I think, at a level that no one was really even conceiving of. And they've completely transformed that room. Now, part of it, I think, is the fact that you've brought in two guys that are veterans, one of whom is a number one receiver, you know, who has been a number one receiver in his career, one of the best in the league. And another one in Mac Hollins, who's never been that, but is a big, hard-nosed, sort of tough blocking receiver that has now shown this real penchant for getting open down the field. There was that one play on the sideline. There was nobody near him. It's a play action to Hollins on the left sideline. They throw it to him. He catches it, and there's no one else in the frame. So maybe it was a busted coverage. I don't know. But I can tell you that Mac Hollins gets open. He gets open, and when May gives him the ball, when he puts the ball there, he catches it. And he's had some big games. Diggs, though. Mike Reese called him the non-QB MVP of this team. I agreed with him. I thought there's some other names you could maybe put into the mix, but none of them check all the boxes of Steph Diggs. He's been fantastic. He really has. And that's not to say that everyone is on board, per se, with the Patriots and what they're accomplishing. Both First Take and Get Up had some negative things to say about the Patriots, kind of. And it's both from ex-players, one of whom played here in New England, one of whom played for the Jets. Who should we start with, the ex-Patriot or the ex-Jet?
Let's rub it in the Jets' face a little bit more.
Bart Scott on Get Up does not believe that Drake May is the MVP.
Do you see MVP?
No, I saw a quarterback that has a good coordinator that has designed good plays for him, but I also see a team that have, you know, beat, you know, players or teams with a combined record of 37-66.
Yeah.
Let's keep it in perspective. Now, I did see a very good player, but I wouldn't be surprised, I wouldn't be shocked if they win the division and have to host Kansas City, Baltimore, or Buffalo and get sent home. You know, this is a well-coached team that's playing about as high as they could. And they have a quarterback that's not losing the game. He's able to make plays down the field, you know, 66% in throws over 20 yards or better. That's great because that allows you to get explosives. So that means they can score. I think Stephon Diggs has become the route runner that they need, being able to move the chains and things like that to be that outlet for him. But MVP, I think that's disrespectful to Daniel Jones, Sam Darnold, and Matthew Stafford.
Daniel Jones? It's disrespectful to Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones isn't even the MVP of his own team. What are you talking about? Disrespectful to Daniel Jones. Bart Scott, man, you could have maybe landed that plane with Stafford. Maybe. Darnold, maybe. But Daniel Jones, I mean, you heard, I don't know who that was, but he's like, what? Daniel Jones, what? No way, come on. MVP Daniel Jones, come on.
MVP, I think that's disrespectful to Daniel Jones, Sam Darnold, and Matthew
what?
Stafford.
Who's that, Orlovsky? I don't know who that was, but that was funny. That's pretty good. That was on Get Up. Couple of things. Couple of issues with what Bart Scott had to say. And he says, well, they seem like a team that could get Kansas City in the first round and get sent home. That could happen. But that has nothing to do with the MVP race. The MVP is a regular season award, Bart. Like, that doesn't matter if they make the playoffs. If they make it to the postseason and win 13 or 14 games, whatever it is that they win, which that's on the table, by the way. 13 wins is on the table for this team. You're telling me that is disrespectful to call the quarterback of that team that went from 4 wins to 13-plus? To call him the MVP is disrespect. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? What? Like, that's ridiculous. Josh McDaniels is drawing up good plays. Sure. Patrick Mahomes has a guy drawing up some pretty good plays, too. Andy Reid, not sure if you heard of him. Pretty good offensive mind. You know, a guy that Sean McVay, you think Matt Stafford's coming up with all those plays by himself? You think Matt Stafford's in the room drawing up all those offensive plays? You don't think Sean McVay maybe has a little something to do with that? Just a little something there. And Josh McDaniels, I put on the same level as an offensive mind. Not as a head coach, obviously, because how could you? But as an offensive mind, I put Josh McDaniels up there with all of them. With the McVays and the Shanahans and the Turners and, you know, March of Brodas and all those guys. Like, I'd have him on that list, absolutely. Walsh. I separate those guys who then went on to be great head coaches because that's, you know, that you have to if you want to be fair about it. But in terms of their offensive mind and what they've accomplished as offensive coordinators and doing that, it's he's on that list. He's right there. But that doesn't mean that the quarterback shouldn't be the MVP, you know, like that. So what? there's a lot of guys who benefit from good coaching and win MVPs because of the numbers that they put up. It's rare that you have any MVP with some lousy coach or some lousy coordinator, you know, like that. How often do you see that? That's kind of part of it. You know what I mean? So I'm not sure why he thought that was a compelling argument. There's one other thing he said that had bothered me, and now I can't remember what it is. The Chiefs, the offensive coordinator. Oh, and the schedule. It's not. Yeah, combined record is what it is. But you also have to remember that this was a 4-win team last year. This was a team that was one of those teams.
I think that's disrespectful to Daniel Jones.
What? Daniel Jones. That's silly. And if we want to get real silly up in here, let's hear what Cam Newton had to say on First Take when he was asked about the Patriots as a Super Bowl contender.
It has fool's gold written all over it.
Can we just stop real quick? He is exhausting. Cam Newton is exhausting on that show. He really is. Like, the way it is fool's gold. Okay, Cam, like, can you just, all right, do you have to say everything so dramatically? Like, can we just, right, you know what I mean? And I know that's big talk for me, saying things dramatically. I should probably look in the mirror here. And also, you know, Stephen A., he's known to say things dramatically, too. But at least with Stephen A., it's like, are you telling me? You know, like, he gets all worked up about it. Cam Newton, it's like this long, over-dramatic, come on.
This is some BS.
Like, that's okay. That kind of drama is okay. With Cam Newton, it's like, oh, he's like a little old lady. Like, everybody
has fool's gold written all over it.
It has fool's gold. Okay, Cam, all right, man. Why does it have fool's gold?
Cupic Zirconia, middle of the mall. If you keep playing sorry scrubs, then you're going to have this falsetto of a mentality going into the playoffs. And
time
it
out.
Has one.
Timeout. That is not what falsetto means. You're going to have a falsetto going to the playoffs? What?
They're
going to
have really high voices?
A falsetto is like a singing, a tone that you sing in. Right? Like, oh, like that's a falsetto. That was the worst falsetto of all time. I apologize. But I just wanted to point that out. I don't know what Cam meant there, but I don't think he quite knows what that word means. Anyways, keep going.
Falsetto of a mentality going into the playoffs, and it has one and done written all over it. Give me the Indianapolis Colts. Am I questioning Indiana Jones? Absolutely. But do I have more concern with the New England Patriots playing five or six teams that have losing records, then going into a situation where now the competition exceeds, you know, what you may have been used to? That's what I have the biggest question for Drake May.
Okay. God, he is exhausting.
Everything y'all know, I know.
E from Brockton in the Twitch chat. Yeah, Cam is extra. He is very extra. From the clothes to the delivery to all of it. Extremely extra. Do people still say that? Do people still say extra? E from Brockton still says it. He's probably one of the coolest people I know.
I'll say it now and again.
Don't even really know him. But yeah, that's extra. He's definitely extra. Definitely extra. And I don't know exactly what the point of that one is either. The Colts have beaten more good teams. Okay. If the Patriots had lost to the good teams that they've played, I'd buy that argument. I would. I'd say, yeah, you know, right? They haven't really proven it against the good teams. If their two losses this year were to Buffalo and the Tampa, and they beat Vegas and Pittsburgh, although Pittsburgh's not terrible, but even still, like just assume, hypothetically, that those were the two losses. The losses were to Buffalo and the losses were to Tampa. I would take, as exhausting as he is, I would take Cam Newton and what he's saying there more seriously. Because there's a precedent. Well, okay, they didn't beat those teams. They do beat the bad teams, but when they go up against the good ones, they don't show up. They can't do it. They don't reach those same highs that they do against the bad teams. And that's just not true. It's just not true. They're not going to have an opportunity for it for about a month. They got three more cream puffs, and then, you know, then it gets a little tougher with Buffalo and with Baltimore in a row there, assuming that those two teams are all good at that point. The way the season's going for the Patriots, I wouldn't be shocked if Allen and Jackson both go down with injuries right before they have to play New England. I mean, honestly, like, it's been a charm season so far. And but you know what I mean? Like, that's not – I'm not counting on that. I'm counting on them to have to go there and or, you know, them come here and they have to play those teams and go up against those MVP-caliber quarterbacks. And can they beat them? We'll see. But the fact that they've gone up against Baker Mayfield and already beaten Josh Allen at one point this year really just – blows up that entire argument for me. It just does. Yes, Joe.
Those are not cream puffs on the schedule. They're what Stephen A. calls
cupcakes on your schedule.
Cupcakes, excuse me. Yes, cupcakes, cream puffs, strawberry parfaits, whatever it is that you prefer to call them. 617-779-7937. Cam Newton was shouted down a little bit by Ryan Clark, who every now and then Ryan Clark will say something where I'm like, what the hell are you talking about, man? But it seems like he's on the right side of history here when it comes to the Patriots.
Are we convinced, after what you watched, that the AFC Ryan Clark is going to go through Foxborough?
Absolutely. I'm absolutely convinced. And it's not just about what we saw last night. Obviously, playing the Jets, you expected the New England Patriots to operate that way, to execute in the way that they have. But also, let's look at the rest of the season. This is a team that's shown us that they can win in many ways. You have a quarterback right now. I don't care if you're talking about the Patrick Mahomes's, the Josh Allen's of the world, the Lamar Jackson's of the world. You have a quarterback in Drake May that's outplayed all of them up until this point, is the leader in, as far as the MVP conversation goes. And you have Mike Vrabel that has instituted a culture here that is don't quit, that show up every day, that's execute every day, and never take a day for granted. Those are the type of things we expect from New England Patriots team. And when you look at their schedule as compared to who is the biggest threat for the number one overall seed, the Indianapolis Colts, it's a much easier schedule down the stretch than Daniel Jones and his team face. It's going to go through Foxborough just like it used to throughout the 2000s.
All right, Ryan Clark, I mean, that's, you know, it's largely what other people are saying here, and that is a much more nuanced and well-put-together argument than anything Bart Scott or Cam Newton came with. Now, I know what people are saying. Well, yeah, they can't all agree all the time. You got to have somebody come out with another angle to all of this. And once you plant your flag and say, I don't believe in these Patriots, or I don't, you know, I'll be the Patriots hater, you got to stick with it for at least a week or two. I was looking pretty smart after that 1-2 start with my anti-Mike Vrabel and, anti-Drake May thoughts, and now I look like the biggest idiot who's ever lived, which for me is pretty normal, actually. Like, that's kind of how I live my life on a day-to-day basis anyway. But you know what I mean? Like, eventually you just got to tip your cap, say I was completely wrong, which I was, and, God save the king here. Like, this is what we're watching right now. Cam Newton, I don't know what his problem is. I don't know what his deal is. If it's just, you know, trying to be extra and be on TV and give a contrarian opinion, it's got to work on that a little bit, I think. Bart Scott, I get it. I mean, Bart Scott was a Patriots nemesis on the everywhere he went, right? Jets and the – was he on the Ravens, too? I think he was, right? Bart Scott? He's a good player. I like Bart Scott. So was Cam Newton, too, for that matter. But, you know, he didn't have to go up against him that much. Although Cam Newton, when the Patriots had to play Cam Newton, oh, God.
There's not 32 guys better than me.
Oh, God. Oh, yes, there is, Cam. There was at the time. I remember Cam Newton putting a juke move on, I think, Chandler Jones that I'm not sure Chandler Jones ever recovered from. I think that Chandler Jones' jockstrap came off, like, in the middle of the field. Newton hit him with a head fake. It was just the two of them in the open field. And he left him like 5 yards off to the side. It was, oh my God. That was the game where Gronkowski got mugged in the end zone at the end by Luke Kuechly, I want to say. And there was no call. And the Panthers ended up winning that game back, you know, when the Patriots didn't lose a lot of games. And, yeah, I remember Cam Newton just abusing the defensive ends on this team. But, again, that's neither here nor there. 617-779-7937. Let's go to the phones. Jimmy's in Westford. Hi, Jimmy.
How's it going?
What's up, Jimmy?
I mean, I think the bottom line with the schedule thing is that, you know, the Patriots have been taking care of business. If they're playing bad teams, they're beating them. They go into Buffalo on their night and they win. They take Tampa off a bye. They win. And Cam Newton, I don't know if it's a jealousy thing. He can't just accept the fact that they're a real team. Or maybe it's because he knows if Drake May fumbled in the Super Bowl, he'd jump on the ball. And that's about it.
Maybe Jimmy could call. Thanks for checking in there. 617-779-7937. Mego's going to join the show. She'll be calling in here in about 10 minutes. First, here's Joe Braverman with What's Trending.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Signing Stephon Diggs was the end of a decades-long quest for Mike Vrabel, who did get him, by the way, three-year, $69 million deal. Vrabel recruited Diggs out of high school when he was an assistant at Ohio State. Didn't get him, was mad about it when Diggs became available this spring. His agent sent video to the Patriots just 3 months after the ACL tear. He was running, cutting, good sign ahead of schedule. It came down to the Broncos or Patriots. 5 months from passing a physical, the Patriots signed him, a big-time leap of faith.
That was Rap Sheet on the pregame show, Thursday Night Football. History I didn't know about Diggs and Vrabel. Also didn't know that the Broncos made a push for Steph Diggs in the offseason. It seemed like, you remember, there was three receivers that just kind of hung out there in free agency. It was Diggs. It was, what the hell is his name? Was on the Chargers, went back to the Chargers.
Keenan Allen,
thank you very much. And Amari Cooper were the three kind of guy, right? Like, they were the older guys. They were all free agents. Some were coming off of injuries. Didn't know how much any of them really had left in the tank. And I didn't think that there was, like, big bidding wars going on for any of them, really. You know, like, it seemed like they all just kind of sat there. Everyone was waiting to see what would happen with T. Higgins. He goes back to the Bengals. Some trades got made. Cooper Kupp, they traded for. DK Metcalf traded. And then those three guys just kind of sat around for a while. Patriots end up with Diggs. And I remember thinking at the time, oh, no. Keenan Allen probably would have been a better fit here, right? Like, you know, a possession receiver, not coming off of a big injury. Not a guy that needs the ball all the time and is going to make a big stink in the locker room, even if it's a place like Buffalo where, number one, he's getting the ball, and number two, that offense is humming right along. But now he just couldn't be happy about it. He was just such a problem. Problem before that, too, in Minnesota. Just needed the ball all the time. Just cared about his stats. Didn't care about, you know, the team. And that guy, I haven't seen that guy for 1 second in this setting. It was hard to really gauge what was going on there in Houston. He was having a good year. He was playing well in Houston. It was a one-year deal. He got hurt, tore his ACL, but was playing well on that team in that offense. I don't know if he was commanding the room and leading the pregame speeches and all that stuff that he's doing now. I don't know. But it was so brief that it's hard to, even if he was, like, it was kind of a flash in the pan. And now here he is, an emotional leader in the locker room, a veteran leader that these younger players certainly all look up to. And on top of all of that, he's still producing at a high level, high enough that you can start having visions of what type of final numbers he's going to have. What he's projected for right now, over 1,000 yards, 91 receptions, 1,018 yards, and 5 touchdowns is what he is currently on pace for. That's, you know, I mean, it's 17 games, but still, that's about as close to vintage Steph Diggs numbers as you're going to find. And that's coming off of an injury an injury that doesn't usually have this quick of a recovery time. And in a new offense with a young quarterback, and it all just seems to be clicking with him in particular. And that is spread throughout the locker room. And for more on that, let's welcome in our guest. She's not really a guest. She basically lives here. That would be Mega from WEEI, WEEI.com. And you can hear her, of course, with me and Ted and Scheim on football Sundays, including this Sunday at 10 o'clock. Just because there's no Patriots game Sunday, the show must go on. Mega, welcome. How are we doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing on this Friday?
I'm doing great. It's a nice victory Friday, nice Patriots Friday here. Let's go ahead and start with your impressions from what we all witnessed last night. Short week, a Jets team that, while they don't win a lot of games, don't really get blown out that much either. They hung around in that game for sure. Patriots able to come away with a victory. What did you like and what didn't you like?
I think I'll start, obviously, with what I like, and that is that this team is so freaking confident and professional. And I say professional because all the short week stuff coming off of a really physical Tampa game where a lot of their key players got pretty banged up. And then some guys were out, like Terrell Jennings, but somebody like Trevion Henderson suffered a knee injury and was limited in practice in one of the two practices that they were able to hold this week, and then goes in and has a hat trick of touchdowns. I think that says something to what the head coach and what the organization is able to do. And they talk about it a lot after the game about saunas and body work and all the stuff that they did, IV hydration down in Florida to get themselves prepared for this Thursday night game. But I say confident as well, because it's so clear to me that they're in a position where I don't know if this is something that's going to be great for them to carry into the playoffs, but they can have Justin Fields and Breece Hall run through them in the first possession and once again have a team score a touchdown or just score on their first possession of the game and be like, okay, shrug that off. We've been here. We're gonna get to where we need to get to. And I think that that's just, again, I don't know if that's something that you want to except for the long term when you see more talented teams, but they do just have this innate belief in themselves as the game goes on.
Yeah, and against Tampa, the same thing happened, and Tampa is a good team. And that was sort of the thing.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you can't let this happen against a good team. It'll finally come back to bite you. Actually, it didn't. It really didn't. Tampa, the
right.
Same thing happened, and they still won.
Yeah, because I think on both sides of the ball, like it's different levels of confidence where I think offensively it's so clear that they feel that different guys can make plays for them. It's not the kind of team where they have to look to Steph Diggs and they have to have him have a performance like he did last night or like he did against Buffalo, which was very emotional for him. They can go to Mac Hollins for an entire half like they did in the second half against Tampa. They can go to DeMario Douglas for a whole game as they did the week before and he had 100-plus receiving yards. And then I think over on defense, it's a little bit different because strangely, I do think that they're a little bit more up and down at times for a Vrabel defensively focused coach team. But I think that confidence just is felt throughout the locker room.
And now, Mega, you famously are in that locker room, as we know on Sundays when we go inside the locker room with a player who every time you interview a player, they do something good in the game, which is an amazing streak that you're on. But I want to know, at what point in that locker room did you kind of realize, all right, these guys all really are buying it? Was there like a certain game, a certain post game where it was just like, okay,
yes,
this is it?
So it was interesting. I'm going to pull back the curtain on a story that I didn't write. So I wanted to do this story about when a team figures out that they're good. And I wanted to go around the locker room and talk to guys who were new free agents who had been on really good teams. So guys like Carlton Davis when he was in Tampa, Milton Williams, Garrett Bradbury when he was with the Vikings, and asked them when they kind of felt like, you know, okay, things are really swinging their way. And that was right before the Buffalo game. So then, because I honestly went into that thinking like, hey, if they can hang out with Buffalo, if they can be tough in there, then we can say, hey, this is a pretty good team. They're scrappy. They're frisky. They might have something. And then, you know, they don't exactly blow doors, but they certainly make a statement in Sunday Night Football. And so then I scrapped that because I was like, well, now this feels very stupid. You know, they're a good team because they beat Buffalo. But I think there was I felt it in that locker room leading up to that game, that those guys felt like they should be taken seriously. They knew that they hadn't arrived and they had a lot that they had to prove, but they all bought so much into what Mike Vrabel was selling early on. And I think once the season started, the part of what the Raiders game, why that opening game was such a disappointment, was because everybody's expectations were so much higher. And it was almost like looking around the locker room, the guys were like, we seriously like just played like that? And you come out of camp, and this kind of a long-winded way of saying, I think a lot of players, even when they come out of camp, they're not sure exactly what kind of team they are. But this team grew their confidence very quickly. And I would say it was leading up to that Buffalo game. And then the Buffalo game just kind of announced it to everybody else.
We're talking with Mego here on the Christian Arcan Show. Mego, do you think that this team is playing as well as they're going to play, or do you think there's another level that they have?
It's hard to say because I think so much of it is tied directly to the quarterback. And I spent a couple weeks saying, surely this is unsustainable. And I'm done with that with Drake May, because I think with Drake, what is most interesting to me is not just, okay, you can look at the passer rating or statistics that fit what argument you want to make for him on either side, but he's fixing stuff as the season goes along. Like, what were we talking about 3 weeks ago? We were talking about the sacks that he was taking. He's taking six sacks in back-to-back games. He only takes one apiece in a short week. And so that, I think you can already see him maneuvering and moving around a dirty pocket, like much better than he was, say, 5 or 6 weeks ago before he saw a pair of really good defenses. Sliding early in the season. Oh my God. Like, how much do we talk about sliding? He still scares the crap out of me half the time when he goes to try to slide. Cause I know he played baseball, but it just looks a little awkward, but he's doing a good job protecting himself. And so I think the team just will largely go as Drake goes. And if he continues this level of play, then I think that they will continue to have this confidence and be able to make big plays that erase a lot of the mistakes that they have. So I kind of think that they're going to keep, I wouldn't say like climbing to another level, but rising to the occasion that they're in. And it'll be interesting to see once they get into the playoffs, everything kind of resets and it'll be a different level of intensity. But I really think the team is kind of built for that.
Yeah, they certainly appear to be. Mike Reese said that the non-quarterback MVP of this team is Steph Diggs. You're probably the wrong person to ask, but do you agree with him?
I have a different take on that.
Okay.
And maybe this isn't as spicy. I like that. I like that assertion from Mike Reese. You know I'm a big Steph Diggs fan.
We know.
But I think that he's so clearly the best free agent signing that they've had since Brady left. And I might need to even go back further into like deeper into the final Brady years to see if there's another free agent signing that's made such a big impact. So I would definitely give him that moniker. But in terms of the MVP outside of quarterback, I don't know. I might have to think on that a little bit more, because I think collectively what the offensive line has been able to do in staying healthy and playing together game to game, especially when our expectations were so low going into the season, those guys just don't really get a ton of credit. We only look at them when protection breaks down and then we all yell about it. So I think that might be the most important aspect to the team's play right now, but Steph Diggs is certainly the most exciting.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think you can make an argument for Milton Williams just because this team went from what they were last year to a top run-stuffing defense, and he's the guy in the middle, and, you know, Spillane, and there's other guys that you can point to, but I think Williams, especially considering he wasn't a full-time player on those Eagles teams, right? Like, he was,
I think we can agree Milton Williams is the most online guy. He's got that going for him.
That's true. I didn't even realize that. I was like, oh yeah, okay, I guess that was during the game. But that's one way that they've certainly transformed. Where do you think there's still room for improvement with this team?
So I thought it was pretty apparent last night against Justin Fields. Something that they haven't seen a ton of are these super mobile dual threat quarterbacks. And Justin Fields is not a dual threat because he's not a good passer. He's a single threat as a runner. But they're probably most likely, I don't know, the injury report, the practice reports are weird out of Baltimore, but they're probably going to see Lamar Jackson in a couple weeks, and they're going to see Josh Allen again, and then who knows who they'll see in the playoffs. They need to work on containing these quarterbacks who can run. We all have seen the different stats of how good the rush defense has been against true runners, but both Josh Allen and Justin Fields were able to post over 50 rushing yards on them. The only time Drake May has done that this entire season, by the way, was against Tennessee, who were abysmal. So that kind of gives you an idea of, as much as we're like, wow, Drake can take off and make stuff happen, and he's doing that more, I think, through the air now than with his legs, which is another great progression. But as much as we look at that, they've had two of the better running quarterbacks post pretty big stats on them. And so I think that's just something to watch. It reminds me a little bit of a similar issue that the 2021 defense had, which was, again, a really good defense, but they had trouble, especially when guys are able to break out to the right side, like you saw last night with Justin Fields and take off over there.
Yeah, no question about it. All right, last question. Are you getting Stephen Cardi V a baby gift?
Oh, my gosh. I don't want to be creepy. Like, I don't want to be all in their business and everything. I was very surprised, though, because I honestly wasn't locked into the timeline mm-hmm. of the pregnancy. And I was like, wow, she was very pregnant when she was at the stadium the other day in the box. Like, she could have had her water break in next to Mr. Kraft and delivered in a hospital in Boston.
Robert and Jonathan there, like, you know, breathe, right? Doing the breathing exercises. That would have been something to see. Yeah, all right.
Yeah, okay. If it was a movie, that's what would have happened.
Definitely.
You know, he would have his touchdown, and then her water would break, and she'd be like, "Oh, the baby's coming!" And it would be great.
Yeah.
I would have loved that.
The baby
but,
comes
you know,
out.
Congratulations
and says,
to them.
Baby comes out and says, "Go Pats" or something. That would work out great.
Yeah, exactly.
Megan Ottolini, aka Mego, great to talk with you as always. I'll see you on Sunday for Football Sunday with you, me, Chris Scheim, Ted Johnson, Wiggy. No Tommy Curran this weekend. He's blowing us off. But everybody else will be there, and you'll be there, and we'll talk to you then, okay?
Okay. All right. Thanks, Arkan.
All right. Later, Mego. That is Mego joining us here on the Christian Arkan Show. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Patriots now are basically guaranteed a playoff spot. Who do you want them to play? Who would you like to see the Patriots match up with in the postseason? We'll get to that next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
The road to the Super Bowl in the AFC is going through Foxborough.
Where have we heard that before?
It goes back to what I was saying about Buffalo. Yes.
Oh, God.
Yes, yes. If my man Brewski was here, we'd be like, we're back. It's happening again.
I can't take it. This was like an entire two generations of my life, and now I have to deal with it again. But they are legit. That's the case, right?
That is.
They are legit, and they're at the very beginning of how good they're going
that
to be.
That is the absolute truth. And to juxtapose this with the Buffalo Bills, who are maybe the worst rush defense in football, the Patriots are the number one rush defense in football by a long shot.
Former Patriots O-lineman Damian Woody. AFC runs through New England. Right now the whole league runs through New England. They are the team at 9-2. There are two teams in the AFC that could get there this weekend. That, of course, being the Broncos and the Colts. Broncos are playing the Chiefs. And actually, do the Colts have a bye this week? I believe they do. I believe the Colts are on a bye this week, right? Yeah. Okay. So Colts can't get there. The Broncos can. The Patriots will be the head of Indy in the standings there. And that's the team in Indy that is the one team people are saying, well, you know, when are you gonna beat a real team like the Colts? You know who the Colts have beaten? Colts beat the Dolphins, Colts beat the Titans, Colts beat the Raiders, Colts beat the Cardinals, Colts beat the Titans again, Colts beat the Falcons. They also beat the Chargers and the Broncos. And those are really their only two big, good wins of the year. They only have two real wins this year, too.
I guess then you weigh Chargers-Broncos victories versus Bills and Buccaneers victories.
Yeah. The Colts have lost to the Rams and the Steelers. The Steelers have beaten both the Colts and the Patriots. And that, I think, is sort of part of this conversation that no one wants to have. You're not hearing Cam Newton point that out. You're not hearing anybody who goes after the Patriots and their schedule point out the fact that the Colts are beating the same cream puff teams the Patriots are.
It has fool's gold written all over it.
Okay. I mean, Patriots didn't get to play the Titans twice, you know? Just one against the Titans. The Patriots did lose to the Raiders, who the Colts beat the hell out of. That was one of the biggest ass whippings of the entire season. They beat them like 40-6. That was a tough one for old Pete the Poodle there. But the Colts are good. I mean, I don't think the Colts are a team that you take lightly. They have an MVP caliber running back. They have a massive upgraded QB in the form of Danny Dimes, who, you know, I didn't expect him to look like that all year, but he had a good year in New York. Like, he had a good year with Daboll. Like, there's something there. There's talent there. There's ability there. And they have a good defense. And they went balls to the wall at the trade deadline. Really going for it. And we'll see if that ends up paying off for them or not. But that's a team that you may end up seeing in the AFC Championship game. Or that could be a team that gets upset early on in the process against one of these other teams lurking at the bottom of the playoff picture in the AFC. And that's kind of a scary place. Up at the top, you got the Patriots, the Colts, the Broncos, the Steelers, because someone has to win that division. And then down in the 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 seeds, you got the Chargers at 5, Buffalo at 6, Jacksonville at 7, Kansas City, the 8 seed, so not a playoff team right now. The Texans are 4-5, and the Ravens are 4-5. And I include the Texans, because that's not a defense you want to run into in the playoffs. Their offense is not great, and Stroud is, I don't know what the hell he is right now. Or any what that team offensively, it's hard to really pin them down to anything. But you can say for sure that defense is nasty. Nasty. The Ravens, with Jackson being back, and Mega was talking about how that injury report's getting a little sketchy. I don't know what their deal is going to be in a month. But let's assume that Jackson is back and that he continues to play well over the course of the next 3-4 weeks, whatever it is, until they play the Patriots. That would be a tough matchup in the regular season. That would be a tough postseason matchup. The Kansas City Chiefs, I don't have to tell you. And this is assuming that the Patriots get like a bye, play a home division game, and then have one of these teams travel to Foxborough. If it's the Chiefs, if it's the Ravens, how good do you feel about that? If it's the Bills, how do you feel about that? I don't feel much about, you know, the Jaguars or even the Chargers. I know the Steelers beat the Patriots, but I'm not really afraid of them. I think if those two teams played next week, the Patriots would win and win maybe easily. The Steelers have been facing some real challenges lately. And I don't think that you're going to see another 3-fumble game. Like, you know, like it was a very fluky, weird game. But there are some teams lurking down there at the bottom that, you know, you don't want to go wading into that swamp. That gator will bite your leg off. And that could be Patrick Mahomes. Could be Lamar Jackson. It could be Josh Allen. It could conceivably be Justin Herbert. Now, I'm not quite as worried about the Chargers. But that's a team, you know, Harbaugh's the coach. Like, they're not, they're 7-3. Like, they're not some pushover team either. They're out there making it happen in that AFC West, where you have one team in the Broncos that find ways to win every week. And the Chiefs, who everyone's just kind of waiting for them to wake up. Like Monstro the Whale. Like, when are they going to wake up and sneeze and get back into the playoff picture? May start this weekend. May not. We may be on the cusp of something that we're not ready for, like the Chiefs missing the playoffs. If the Chiefs missed the playoffs, that would be insane. Like, I wouldn't know what to do. Like, the Patriots, for outside of what, 2002? And that one year when Brady got injured and Matt Castle, and they still won 10 games, didn't miss the playoffs. Like, they were there. They might not have gone very far in the playoffs, but they didn't miss it. They also didn't have two teams in division that would give them a run for their money like this. Like, that's the other thing. I don't remember the Patriots having to go up against the Dolphins, Bills, Chiefs, whatever, not the Chiefs, but Dolphins, Bills, or Jets that were 8-2 at any point, or, you know, like, going on this kind of run, 7-3 and 8-2 ahead of them while they're 5-4. It just, it didn't happen very often. Patriots get off to slow starts once in a while, but it didn't take very long for them to just blow completely past everybody else in the AFC East. That was pretty common. I feel like this is unusual for the Chiefs. And there may be a course correction. There may not. There may not. The Chiefs have to go to Denver on Sunday. And I don't know that that's a guaranteed win for them. It's like a must-win for them. And I feel good about the Chiefs in a must-win game. But, you know, I'm thinking of the Chiefs from like the last couple of years. Those are the Chiefs I feel good about in must-win games. I don't know how I feel about these Chiefs in that setting. But I wouldn't want to face them as the Patriots. I wouldn't want to face them. I don't really want to face Lamar Jackson. Because these aren't guys, you know, Jackson isn't a guy who's won a Super Bowl or anything. Neither is Josh Allen. But they are teams and quarterbacks that have been there in the playoffs before, gone up against the best of the best and gone toe-to-toe with them. Not always won, but they've beaten each other. And they usually end up losing to Mahomes. But that's it. That's who they lose to. Like, they don't lose to the young team with the hot quarterback. Like, that's just not the way it works. When C.J. Stroud went to Baltimore, Jackson and the Ravens kicked the crap out of him 2 years ago. So that's sort of what I mean. There's a pedigree there that the Patriots don't yet have. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let's go to Tom in Springfield before we hit the break. Go ahead, Tom.
Yes, definitely the Ravens are the one I fear the most because we never cover even when we have a much better team and we've often lost to them. And, yeah, the running back for Indianapolis is a strong candidate for MVP. And as far as our wide receivers that can't catch, we could just have them as a decoy, you know, running down straight down the field to clear out some space, or send them on an end around to, you know, take advantage of their speed. Now, the Patriots, I consider their first three games this year like preseason before they got it together, you know, and, you know, played as a team. Now the Carolina game, that if people take another look at that, we played like Super Bowl champions. Mm. I didn't see a single play where we seemed, you know, to not know what we're doing. Even on their first downs, the coverage was great. It was a great pass that beat us and a great catch. Yeah, Carolina game was great.
Tom, thanks for the call. We're up against the break. I want to let you keep going, but we got to hit this break here. You're right. That was a great win, Carolina. I don't know if it was their best win of the year. They've had better ones, but I enjoyed that one as well. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Quick break. We'll be right back with your 8 o'clock headlines.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.